It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. Exodus chapter 3 is where you'll find us. Please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Going to begin reading with verse 1. While you're opening your Bibles, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. We'd love to hear from you. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to begin now. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I am come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a land, good land, and a large, unto the land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. And when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God unto this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name for ever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken unto thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, I beseech thee, 3 days' journey unto the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. I will stretch out my hand, and I'll smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come together. I ask that you will show us your way and will. I ask that everyone that is listening today will know that it is your word. It's not something that I have made up, or it's not my opinion. It is your word that I am reading, and I'm reading on behalf of you, that Father, they will hear from you, that light by your word, the light will shine into their hearts, that they will come to know you as their God, and they must come to know you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Not through anything else, Father, not through any means of work or church or anything. It is you. It is a personal relationship with your Son, the Lord Jesus, that they need. So please, dear God, through your word, show them this today, that they will see the light, that life will come into them, that they will move from darkness unto light, from death unto life, and begin to walk, that they will enjoy the study today, that they will enjoy the life with you today. And it's just, that's the only joy that can come is through and by you. So please, dear Lord, guide and lead us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Glad that you've joined us today. It's a wonderful opportunity we have to continue to study this book, the book of Exodus. If you have never studied the book of Exodus, it's a blessing. To understand the five books of Moses is to give us great understanding of God's whole word from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. And so I'm glad that you've joined us today, and hope that you have been and will continue to as we study through this book, the third chapter today now of the book of Exodus. We find that Moses is in Midian. And we have not taken time, you know, we knew that he was in Egypt before, and most folks know where the land of Egypt is. But for folks to understand of this this place of Midian, that's probably not so familiar as the land of Egypt. Well, Midian, if you would look to the map today, you know, we look to the Middle East quite often, on a daily basis for sure, with everything that's going on. And this land of Midian, where Moses went to, was just south of the land of Jordan. It's just south of the land of Jordan. It's in the land of Saudi Arabia. And so you'll find it's over against the coast. It's just next to the Red Sea. It borders to the Red Sea there, but it's just south of Jordan. But the land stretched up all the way into the edge of Jordan, and then over the top and on to the west. And that is kind of a different, what is bordering Israel would be part of that, what we call the Sinai Peninsula down below the Suez Canal, up in that area where Gaza is. You hear that quite often, straight south of Gaza. That land, that area, is the land of Midian, and much of that land of, but most of the time we're looking at just the part that is east of the Gulf there, north of the Red Sea, and just be south of Jordan. So that kind of gives you an idea of where we're looking at there. Now we find that he is at Horeb, and so Horeb is another place that we need to familiarize ourselves with, and that is Mount Sinai. And you hear of Mount Sinai quite often, and that is down in that tip. It's just the tip from the Suez as the Suez Canal that connects there, and the Gulf of Suez, you come down all the way to hit the Red Sea. Well, there's another waterway that comes down just off the tip of Israel that is today. It's down in that tip, that very tip, right next to the Red Sea. And there is a mountain range there, and that is Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. Now, we find that Moses has traveled. Number one, he has spent 40 years in Egypt learning the greatest teaching in all the world. Then we find him that in order for God to use him, he takes him unto a land of Midian, and he teaches him another 40 years, but what he has to do is deprogram him from what he learned in the land of Egypt. You know, the land of Egypt, for his position and place, it is a position and a thing of pride and power and strength, man-driven. And so it's a self-righteousness that is there. God had to bring him into the land of Midian. He took him from a place of power and took him to the most humble position. That position was the position of to be a shepherd. And so he was tending to the flocks of his father-in-law. And so from a position of might and power, second in command in Egypt, to Pharaoh, and come now down to this lowly position out tending to sheep and overseeing the flocks. God takes him from a place of power, self-righteousness, to a place of humility, of humbleness, so that God could use him and give him his righteousness. And that's right where we're at right now. 40 years of teaching in Egypt, greatest education the world could provide, but it's something that many times God can't use. And so we need to see that we do not neglect the knowledge and the wisdom of God and his ways if we expect to be of use for God. There is no, a lot of people, a lot of preachers head off to school and they go through the seminary and they learn all the things that they're to learn, and they come back and they have all this teaching and they begin to teach the Word of God as it is a textbook. It is not a textbook. It is God's living Word. We need to be taught by the Holy Spirit, taught the Word of God. The Word of God, one word confirms another. That's how we know it to be the truth, not by some man's opinion. And so please look to the Word of God. Look to the lessons we have in the Word of God of Moses, 40 years in, 40 years out, and now he is closing on that 40 years in the wilderness, and God's about to use him. He is finally usable. How many years does it take? Moses is 80 years old before God can use him. I hope that you're not 80 years old before God can use you. I hope I'm not 80 years old before God can use me. And so please, let's look. We found the location. We looked to where Midian was at. He's come from Egypt into the land of Midian. He's heading back to Egypt. God's going to send him back there because now he can do the work and the purpose. Moses tried to deliver the nation of Israel one man at a time. Remember how he got thrown out of Egypt or left Egypt? He left Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian, because an Egyptian was harming an Israelite. He probably never thought about it in that way, that he was trying to save him, but in the nation of Israel. Well, God had plans for Moses to deliver the nation of Israel, but it's got to be God's way. And so instead of by power and strength and killing one Egyptian at a time like Moses was going to, God got Moses out of there, into the land of Midian. He taught him humility. He taught him obedience, and now he can be used. So he's 80 years old. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a burning bush. First time God has spoken to him. The first time he appeared unto him, the angel of the Lord. You'll find in the Word of God, in the Old Testament here, the angel of the Lord is none other than the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to Moses. And so he says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. the bush was burned with fire, but it was not consumed. Now, that's something to look upon that. And, you know, we have a wonderful example in the Word of God here as we look at this. And Moses looking upon that bush, he couldn't understand that. There was fire, but it didn't consume it. And any time a fire comes upon anything that is of that appearance, whether it's house or anything, that fire, unless it is put out, consumes whatever it's burning. And here, Moses is looking about this bush, but he can still see the bush. It's just the flame there. It's clear. It's apparent. Well, we have a very good example here, because you see the nation of Israel. They have faced much tribulation, much persecution. They have lost their land and just, you know, a few years ago regained a small portion of their land. It's the only people that has held with their existence without a land. You look at that. The nation of Israel was dispersed throughout the world, and yet they're coming back. And there's going to be a time that the nation of Israel will be a strong, mighty nation under the hand of God. Now, the people of this world, through all the generations, have tried to ruin and destroy the nation of Israel. There's a hatred for the Jews in this world, and I'm sad to say in this land. But that's a hatred you shouldn't have, because it's God's chosen people. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you must support Israel. You must support Israel. And please, as this land, it's the only land that's ever been given to a people by the owner of the land. You may own your house, you may own a farm, you may own property. It's hard to tell what you may think you possess, but you're just a tenant. Only the nation of Israel has true possession of any land, and that's what God has given them, and that's the nation of Israel. And we have the description of it down here in a few verses where it speaks, it's the place, the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. That's the land I'm going to give you. And so it's a wonderful that's coming to pass, but as this bush is not consumed, neither can the nation of Israel. It has never been consumed. It's never been destroyed. And they've tried and they've tried and they've tried. And so right here, Moses is getting a picture of the existence and the life and the vigor of the nation of Israel, only because the hand of God is upon them, still is upon them. He's beginning to collect them back into that land. They need that land. And so we need to be in prayer that and watch God do that. So we find here that Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. A burning bush wasn't something so strange. He's out in the desert, a dry old desert. But to see it not consumed caught Moses' eye. And when he turned to see, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, the fourth verse says, when he turned aside to see, God called unto him. You see how it works? God's light shines to you, but until you turn to him, in the means of the Holy Spirit, when you turn to him, then God will begin to speak to you. And of course, he will speak to you first about your sin. He'll speak to you next about salvation, deliverance that he has given you through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come by faith to him. You need to ask him into your heart. It's not just a universal salvation. It's not that you attend church, so now you're okay. It's not that you've been baptized, you're okay. It's not that you're born into a Christian family, that you're okay. Every individual has to take a moment and turn to Jesus Christ. And when you see that light, when you feel that calling, you must turn to him and trust in him, just like Moses did. Moses, I will now turn aside. He saw the fire. God did not speak to him The angel Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw, he turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And what was his response? Here am I. I hope that you do the same thing. That is the most beautiful invitation, and that's the most beautiful response that is in the Word of God. God will shine His light upon you. When He does, please, please listen to that call. God spoke, and Moses said, Here am I. And the Lord said, Draw nigh hither. See, that's the first thing God's going to want you to do, is begin to walk to Him. But I tell you what, when you begin to walk, understand, when you're in the presence of God, as Moses is here, you're on holy ground. This was a new experience for Moses. Moses didn't know anything about this. He didn't know what was going on. He had never seen the power of the living God. He had never heard the living God speak. And now, here is the words. And he is told to take his shoes off. You take those shoes off because you're on holy ground. It's a sign of humility and to be humble. So please, as we come before the Lord, you know, we need to come with a humble heart. And, you know, God says in His words many times, you know, you talk right. You bring your offerings and your sacrifices. And He says, I don't want them with your heart the way it is. Well, it's the same way with us. You know, if we come to church and we put our offering in the offering plate, but our heart is not pleasing unto the Lord, get your heart right. Turn first to Jesus Christ as your Savior and ask Him into your heart, and then begin to serve. And when you have yielded unto the Holy Spirit, and when you're following after the will of God, then and only then will you enjoy the power of God, the strength of God. Salvation will be yours. God will be speaking to you. What a wonderful day. And you will understand what it means to be humble and to be meek and to be quiet. What did I tell you about Egypt? 40 years. In 40 years, Moses learned the ways of the world. And I mean in the best of schools. It took 40 years for God to get that out of him. And he didn't, again, he sent him into a wilderness, into the desert, out there with the sheep. I'm going to teach you how to be humble. I'm going to teach you how to be meek. I'm going to teach you how to be like me. And once his will was broken, once he surrendered unto the will of God. Now please, please don't miss that. You may be very, very educated. You may have everything. Everything is going just right. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have nothing. Nothing. Learn of God. Learn of the Lord Jesus Christ. Call out and say, Here am I. And He will speak to you. He says, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You know, he hid his face. He was afraid to look upon him. And if you'll look in the book of John, John chapter 1, I want you to see that no man, according to the Word of God, no man has looked upon the face of God the Father. John chapter 1, John chapter 1, and I believe it was the 18th verse. Yes, it is. John chapter 1, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Do you want to speak to God? You know, how many times do you hear people, preachers, otherwise, God has said this, God has said that, and yet those folks do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If you do not know Jesus, you cannot know the Father. You cannot know God the Father without coming to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, today, come. You're standing on holy ground. Take your shoes off, and you come before me. And he says, moreover, he said, I am the God of the Father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, a large and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Okay, we need to take a good look at this, because it's a wonderful picture of what God does to us. He is sending Moses down to deliver the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. 70 souls went in, and some 2 to 3 million left. This isn't a small operation. This isn't something little. Moses, when he left, he'd only been gone 40 years, and he doesn't realize how large in that 40 years that the nation of Israel has grown. Why is the nation of Israel under such persecution and such trial and tribulation? Because they were getting so large in number that the Egyptians were afraid they were going to take them over. If an enemy would ever come from one side, we'd be concerned that here would come from Goshen, the Israelites would come up against us. We got to be very careful. And so we know there's a great number of them. Look at what God is asking Moses to do. And he says, I will come down to deliver them out. It doesn't say Moses is going to be the spokesman for God. But I will come down, and he gives Moses up here when Moses wonders, how am I going to do this? How are they going to listen to me? And God says, I will give you power to do it. As a believer in Jesus Christ, God gives us strength to do his work. If we will just surrender to him, he will give us strength. We're learning that from Moses. Moses took 40 years to get it out of him. The pride and the arrogance of Egypt. Now he has the humble, meek heart that God desires. Now God can use him. And he says, I am going to come down to deliver them out of the land of Egypt and bring them up out of that land unto a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites. When you come out of the world, God just doesn't forget you. He places you into the kingdom of God. We come out of this world, and we come into the kingdom of God. Right here, they're going to come out of the world. In the Word of God, Egypt always stands for the world. And he is going to bring them out of that unto the land of Canaan. Now, unto the promised land. Now, Canaan isn't heaven. They have to go in and they're going to have to take it when they get that far. Canaan isn't heaven. Canaan is the wonderful walk that we have after we come to know Jesus Christ. We have the power of God. We have the strength of God. We have the blessings of God. That's what I have. And that's what I have possessed since the day I trusted in Jesus Christ. I came out of the world and into the kingdom. What a wonderful joy it is to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Every time God delivers you out of something, he puts you into something. And what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity we have to serve and to praise and to honor God. So please today, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. trust in him today. I hope that you've enjoyed this lesson. Didn't get near as far as I thought I would. We'll begin with that ninth verse next time, and probably even with the eighth verse and begin there. My dear friend, as you look to the Word of God and study, please don't miss this next week. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?